This is seriously my second favorite holiday of the year. Okay, so I had the privilege last year in December to preach the Christmas message. And for those of you who were there, you may remember I said this is my favorite holiday of the year. So now I have the privilege again, since Johann is in South Africa, to preach on Easter. And this is literally my second favorite holiday of the year, because it is just something that makes us so uniquely different from all other religions in the world, right? I mean, whoever claimed to actually come back out of a grave again and raise from the dead, and I mean, there's so much amazing things, and so many messages have been preached on Easter over the centuries. I mean, there's so much. It is an unending story, really. It is just beautiful in so many ways. But today I want to focus on something that has become very precious to me personally. Now, we're currently actually in a series called Heroes of Faith, and we're going through some of the heroes mentioned in the Bible. But since it's Easter, today we will just focus on the hero of faith, Jesus himself. Now, before I share with you what I really like about Easter, I just want to hear back from you. What is one thing that you think of when you hear Easter, when you think about this whole story? What does Easter communicate to you? What is the main message for you? Just throw it out there. New life. Redemption. Power. He's alive. Hope. Hope. Sunrise, light, and life. Very good. Anything else? Sacrifice. Very good. It's so much, okay? Now, here's my tagline for today. Jesus is the Savior of the world among all other superheroes. I don't know if you've seen this picture before. I forgot that I actually had it in there, but did you see here? I don't know who this is. Is this the Flash or somebody is reading the Bible? If the Flash is reading the Bible, we should, okay? So anyways, I forgot about that picture. But here's my tagline that I have for this Sunday. It's, I believe Easter is God's remedy for our feeling of abandonment and the sins that cause it. You know, I believe that one of the worst things that we could experience in life is abandonment. If you've ever felt abandoned or rejected, you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference between feeling abandoned and feeling alone. Okay, there are times of loneliness that all of us experience. We all go through times where we kind of feel alone. And to be honest, it doesn't always have to be bad. It can be a healthy experience to be by yourself and somehow have that direct relationship rediscovered with God again. But there's a difference between feeling alone and feeling abandoned, feeling like that little boy. I believe that abandonment is something that speaks of rejection. Abandonment means you as a person are rejected. You're not just alone, you don't just happen to be by yourself, but you as a person, you are not wanted, you are intentionally left behind, and you are rejected. So it communicates something subtle to the person that feels abandoned about, why am I even here? Why do I exist on this planet? And why do I feel like I am not wanted? And so we for those of you who have maybe experienced that, and I have, and I will jump into my story a little bit later, but there are a few things that start creeping into your mind when you experience abandonment. And some of those things are that you feel like you are just not enough. There is something in you that is lacking, and that's why you are not accepted. There is something in you that is just not enough. So something is inherently wrong with you. Maybe you have done something that communicates that feeling to you. Maybe you have really messed up and sinned, or you know, hurt or broken somebody's heart or whatever, and you see the effect of your own actions displayed in somebody else's face, and you draw the conclusion about yourself saying, I don't fit. I'm a danger to humanity. I should be left alone. I believe there are different ways how our human psyche can cope with that. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, so, but I think some of these things are actually common sense. You know, I think that one thing that we can fall into when we feel abandoned is we come into this performance-drivenness. We try to earn our right to exist. We try to make up for the lack of value that we see in ourselves by adding value to us through the work we do. We become very driven. We want to be perfect in everything. And we try to impress other people. We try to impress God. We try to impress ourselves, to somehow trying to make up for the lack of value we see in ourselves. Or the second kind of reaction we have to the feeling of being abandoned is that we actually start shutting other people out because we don't want to experience this ever again, that somebody rejects or abandons us. So we keep people away from us in the first place. It's like this quote, "She didn't know who would leave or stay, so she pushed them all away." And the third way that we can deal with abandonment is we attack ourselves and we basically respond like psychiatrist Theodore Millen said, our response to feeling abandoned is to abandon ourselves. And that's when some of us maybe become depressed. Maybe we know people who struggle with depression or other forms of anxiety, and often abandonment is connected to that. In 2007, 11 years ago, I went through the most difficult time of my life so far. And one of the reasons why it was so difficult is because I experienced exactly this, abandonment. I was having this friendship with a woman. We were good friends, and it was somehow developing into a relationship or not, it was unclear, and I made a lot of mistakes in that whole dynamics with that woman. And I did things that I always hoped I would never do to somebody. I never wanted to break somebody's heart. I never wanted to hurt somebody, especially not somebody I really cared about. But here is exactly what happened. I did exactly that. I broke somebody's heart. I really hurt her emotionally. And without going into the detail, what happened is at the time I was actually living in London because I was studying one semester abroad. And once a month I would fly back home to Germany, where I'm from, and be part of an outreach that we organized. So just before my trip back to Germany that month, I had really, really emotionally hurt that lady. And so I was feeling really bad. And that night I arrived in Germany, and for some reason I had a revelation suddenly while I was driving the car. I knew in that moment, because of what I did, God will now take his Holy Spirit away from me and he will leave me alone. I have messed up. I did something so terribly wrong. My sin has been so big in this situation that I felt like I was not enough anymore. I was not worthy anymore. I mean, I was serving God. I was playing worship songs. But something in me felt like this little boy that you just saw. Caused by my own actions, I felt abandoned. And for some reason, I thought God abandoned me. So that whole night, I was awake the whole night until, I think, 4 a.m., 5 a.m., and I constantly heard these voices in my head telling me, God has left you, God has left you, God has left you. You're abandoned, you're abandoned. What you have done is really, really bad. You're abandoned by God. And the weird thing is, throughout the whole weekend, I experienced things that communicated the same thing to me. It was really odd. But I remember that Sunday service. So 2 days later, we had a service in church, and this guy came to church who I had never seen before. And he stayed after church, and we had a little bit of a cake and coffee celebration because it was a few of our birthdays, and he stayed. And I was in an inner place of turmoil and fear and feeling rejected and alone. And suddenly this guy gets up, he looks at me, and he says, "You are all wrong people, you are all like Pharisees, you're all religious, you are all not real." And he takes his plate and he throws it to me, and it just hits the wall next to me and breaks into pieces. And I'm like, what is going on? And he starts cursing everybody, and he says, "I will come and destroy this church, and I hate you all." And so some of the men in our church, they jumped on him. I mean, he was a strong guy. jumped on him, pulled him out of the church. And the moment, literally the moment he was outside of the church building, he was changed. He was like a different person. So something manifested there in this guy, okay? But not only did he attack the church or the people, I felt personally very attacked because he looked at me, he said all these things that I was hearing all weekend. So what do? It only reinforced the feeling I had that I was lost. Maybe this was a prophet in disguise that God sent just to confirm that I'm just forever lost. Well, now I'm laughing about it, but back then, I really thought God does not like me anymore. Now, this is a problem because if you think that God is against you, where do you go? You know, you cannot go to a parallel universe and say, hey, is there a bigger God here who might want to be on my side? I have issues with the God where I come from. Is there some Thor or some other superhero, you know, who can help me out here? No. You know, I don't know. I don't think there are parallel universes. But even if there are, I don't know how to get there. So I'm still stuck in my problem here. Okay. It's the worst feeling. Now let's pause here. I will come back to that later. I just said that Easter is God's remedy for our feeling of abandonment and the sins that cause it. How is that? What does Easter have to do with that? I'm very glad you asked. Let's read part of the Easter story together. Matthew 27. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which is Aramaic. It means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" In other words, "My God, why have you abandoned me?" This is literally the same word in the Greek. If you look it up, forsaken and abandoned is exactly the same. So here we have the situation on the cross where everybody is mocking Jesus. People are just ridiculing him. People are saying, "You say you are the Son of God. We will believe in you if you come down from the cross right now." And they tempt him. They mock him. They spit at him. They cast lots for his clothes. They were gambling who would get his clothes, because Jesus had nice clothes, apparently. Okay, they were worth gambling over. And so after hours and hours of this kind of torture, Jesus on the cross, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Has anybody ever felt abandoned in this room? Then I can tell you Jesus has too. Jesus has felt abandoned. Now I want to show you something very, very beautiful in this. As ugly and as evil as this seems, there is a powerful, beautiful message in this last words of Jesus. My God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, many people believe that God the Father actually, literally, left Jesus alone in that moment on the cross. This is how it's usually taught, and I don't want to be presumptuous. I want to approach the whole Easter story very humbly. But after just careful investigation and after studying what Jesus was actually doing here, I personally have come to the conclusion that I do not believe that the Father actually literally left Jesus in that moment. I believe what happened in that moment is that Jesus, as fully human, entered into our experience of separation and abandonment that we think, that we feel from God. But I don't think that what humans did to Jesus literally split the Trinity in half. I just cannot imagine that. Jesus said, "The Father will never leave me." And I don't think that our sin can cause the Trinity, the triune God, to actually be split up. And Jesus actually went down into hell later, and he defeated death, and he came out victorious. If God was not with him, I don't think he would have been able to pull this off, okay? No human could do this. So what was Jesus doing here then? Why was he saying that? You know what I believe he was doing? I believe he was actually looking at everything that was happening around him. And what was happening around him was the fulfillment of Scripture in the Old Testament. There's a powerful, amazing psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 22, that prophesied the crucifixion of the Messiah. And Jesus saw everything happening around him, and by quoting the first line, because this is actually taken from a psalm, this is Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? God, Jesus quoted this psalm to point to his audience, to tell them, listen, Psalm 22 is being fulfilled right now in front of your eyes. Psalm 22 was written 500 years before Jesus came. I want to show you some of the verses that we can read in Psalm 22. It's a very long psalm, so I selected some verses for you. But check this out here. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. This is exactly what happened at the cross. Verse 7 and 8, all who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. It's exactly what the people said to Jesus on the cross. Verse 16 and 18, dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. Guys, this is incredible. This is David writing a psalm 500 years before the crucifixion, prophesying through the Spirit how Jesus will be crucified later, how the soldiers will literally gamble for his garment, how people will pierce his hands and his feet. And then it says, near the end of the psalm, you who fear the Lord, praise him. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. Look at this. Jesus is quoting a psalm to his audience. He's saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't think he did that to make a theological statement about how the Trinity got split up. I believe he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he was quoting the psalm, the messianic psalm that was supposed to point people to the Messiah and show them that he really is who he says he is. It's almost like singing the first line of a popular song in radio today. Hello. You all know how it continues, right? In the similar way, the people at Jesus' time, they were waiting for the Messiah. They knew the messianic psalms. They knew the prophecies in Scripture. They knew it. They were waiting for the Messiah. And when somebody comes along and quotes the first line of a psalm, culturally, among the Jews, it was as if somebody would quote the entire message of the psalm. Not just one line, but the entire message. And what we see in this message towards the end is this beautiful declaration. He has not hidden his face from him, but he has listened to his cry for help. I believe the Father and the Holy Spirit were with Jesus in the moment of death and resurrection. Again, I believe a mere human without God in himself cannot pull this off. I don't believe that. Yet, at the same time, Jesus in his humanity, chose to step into this darkness that we find ourselves in and co-suffer with us in that place. The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself when he was on the cross. Here's a beautiful quote by a theologian, Baxter Kruger. He says, in whispering the first line of Psalm 22, Jesus was letting us know that he had reached the abominable pit where we, human beings trapped in the great darkness, cannot perceive or imagine or know the love of his Father. The place where all we feel is alone, abandoned, and rejected. In other words, again, Jesus voluntarily chose to experience and feel what we experience and feel. When our own sin, or the sin other people maybe commit towards us, when they push us into this place of feeling abandoned. When we start calling our lives God-forsaken. When we start calling our homes God-forsaken. When we start losing the sense that there is God's presence in this world. This blindness, this great darkness, as Baxter Kruger says. This is the darkness Jesus chose to co-suffer with us. But then, in the midst of it, by quoting Psalm 22, he at the same time tells us, although it feels like God has forsaken me, although it feels like I'm forever abandoned, he's still there. He is still there. Easter is God's remedy for our feeling of abandonment and the sins that cause it. Back to my story. That Sunday night, I was supposed to fly back to London, and I was shaking with fear. I remember sitting at the airport just trembling, just feeling so stirred up on the inside. Fearful. Just feeling like God has left me. I'm abandoned. I'm left alone. There's no hope. I remember sitting in the airplane, arriving in London, being surrounded by hundreds of thousands of people. That's what it felt like. If you go into the underground in London, you feel like you're so insignificant and worthless in a way sometimes. You know, like you have all these people around you, and everybody's just like, I don't know. It just felt, I was like, I'm a worm. Just like the guy in the Psalm 22 said, I'm a worm. Before I know it, some giant will step on me and that will be it. The brilliant life of Lenny. For a few weeks, I was in that condition. Until one night, I actually flew in my mom, because I was so scared to be alone. Okay, I asked my mom, please come and visit me in London. So I put up a little mattress on the floor next to my bed. And I said, Mom, I need support. I feel lost. I really do. And so I was laying in bed one night, just constantly trying to control my thoughts, to not go into these places that would just kill me. And I cannot tell you what it was, what triggered it, what started it, but for some supernatural reason, in front of my eyes, I saw Jesus. I saw what we had just read about him in Matthew 27. It's almost like I was part of a movie and I could see people mocking him, and I could see Jesus. I saw his hands and feet pierced, like it says in Psalm 22. I saw this crown of thorns on his head. And I saw him suffering and bleeding. And you must know, I grew up a Christian, okay? So I've been familiar with this stuff my whole life, okay? I grew up with this. This was nothing new. But for the first time in my life, I felt like I understood that he actually did this for me. And I was 24 years old. for the first time, I realized that what he did on the cross was his remedy for my feeling of abandonment. What he did was the remedy for my sin that caused the feeling of abandonment. Remember, I didn't feel abandoned for no reason. I messed up. But for the first time, I realized that all of the things that I could ever do wrong, all my sins, they were all absorbed on the cross in Christ. And because of my feeling of sin, because of my feeling of abandonment, that's why he experienced it as well, to pull me into him in that very moment. And when I was most unlovable, when I was so worthy of rejection, when I was feeling so guilty, when even other people in church stood up and threw plates at me and confirmed all of this, that's the moment when he came and he said, I love you. I have forgiven you. And there is no condemnation for you because you are my son. This was so loud and clear in my ears, in my heart. I immediately had to start writing everything down. And as I said, for the first time ever, I realized what Jesus did on the cross, he did for me. And then I started feeling bad for feeling so bad. I felt like, what an offense to what Jesus did. If we walk through life feeling abandoned and sinful and guilty and unworthy the whole time and never have the humility to actually give it to him and accept what he did for me. I realized me holding on to my fear and my anxiety and my depression, holding on to my guilt and my sense of unworthiness, all of this was a subtle way of pride that basically looked at Jesus and said, what you did was great, but not enough for me. I'm too big of a problem for you, Jesus. Seriously? I was very humbled in that moment when I experienced that cross and I realized, my goodness, how much time have I wasted feeling abandoned, feeling guilty, feeling shameful when he had already done everything 2,000 years ago? What a waste of time. And so it took me a while, to be honest, to get this into my mind. It's one thing if your heart has a revelation on this, if your spirit receives this. It's another thing if your natural mind actually kind of catches up with all these truths, okay? Sometimes our natural mind needs a little while until we actually believe what God shows us. And so, but this experience, this moment never left me. I never forgot it. And to this day, I love talking about it because in hindsight, I'm actually grateful that I had to go through this darkness because I experienced the power of the cross in it. And the moment I saw that cross, I remember I had this amazing, like there was so much love pouring into my heart. I suddenly felt so much love. I had so much love. I just thought about people. I thought about Europe. I thought about the countries. And I just thought, this is the power and the love of God that this nation needs. Europe needs this love. People need this love. This is exactly it. This is the key. And that love just poured into me. And still, if I think back, man, within 5 minutes or so, from being a fearful, depressed, panic-ridden guy crawling up in his bed, having his mommy next to him out of fear, from one moment to the next, just feeling like, all right, God, here I am. Send me into the deepest darkness, and I want to be a love bomb for you right there. I want to show people how amazing you are. Seriously, this is, no psychiatrist can do this with a medication or whatever. Okay, this is only the revelation of what Jesus has done. You know, after Jesus finally died, and I want to now connect it to Resurrection Sunday, since what we talked about was happened on Good Friday, okay, 2 days ago. But I think it is still a powerful picture to remember. But 2 days later, he rose from the dead. This is what we celebrate today. Jesus literally, physically walked out of that grave and he showed himself to his disciples and he gave many proofs. And the Bible now says in Romans 8, if you read it, it says, nothing can separate us anymore from the love of God in Jesus Christ. Nothing. Nothing. Even if you feel you are abandoned, even if you feel like you're separated from the love of God, it's not true. The truth is, nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you don't feel it, it is because you just don't really know it, or you don't really believe it. But the truth is still the truth. The truth is, you are right now not separated from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And I love Jesus' last words in the book of Matthew. Okay, we just read the story in the book of Matthew 27. And Matthew 28, Jesus' very, very, very last words to his disciples. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I love it. This is literally the end of the gospel of Matthew. I believe it's because God knows that all of us at some point will maybe struggle with feeling abandoned, feeling left alone, feeling like, Jesus, you are raised from the dead. All right, where are you? I need you right now. Where are you? It's great to kind of believe in that, but what? I need it now. I need the resurrected Jesus right here. Jesus said, surely, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. If we feel abandoned, it's not because he literally abandoned us. It's because we lost sight of his presence. And we need to look back. Show me a God like that anywhere in the world. Show me a God who just doesn't sit far away and watches the universe unfold and distantly somehow not really interested in what's happening, distant. But also not a God who is constantly avoiding all kinds of pain either. But instead a God who decides to dive into pain with us, to co-suffer with us, to go through agony with us, to experience depression and abandonment alongside us. And by doing that, lifts that heavy yoke of abandonment, lifts the yoke of pain, lifts the yoke of suffering, and looks into our eyes and says, I've been there. Just stay with me. Just stay under me. My yoke is light. Let me lift that feeling from off you. Let me lift that depression off you. What a God who comes alongside and lifts these burdens. So this Easter, I want to encourage you, if you feel abandoned, if you have felt abandoned, if you feel like you're just not really enough, whatever the reason, maybe somebody did something bad to you. Maybe somebody sinned against you. Or maybe you did something. Maybe you messed up and you started feeling abandoned because of your own action. Whatever the reason, Easter is God's remedy for our feeling abandoned and for the sins that cause it. Happy Easter. That is really a happy Easter. Maybe you're wondering in this world, where in the world is God? Well, he is in the midst of the suffering. He's been there. And he's touching people. I want to pray for us, and afterwards I would like to invite Konrad to come up because we will share the communion today. One of my favorite practices as a Christian, communion. I didn't really used to like it so much, to be honest. It always made me feel a bit depressed. But now I realize, my goodness, whew, we celebrate union with Jesus who walked out of the grave. No more reason to feel abandoned. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for Jesus. And we thank you for revealing this truth to us. Thank you for inspiring people to write the Bible at some point, so we can actually read about this. Jesus never wrote a book himself. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you inspired people to do it. Thank you for this Easter story. And Holy Spirit, right now, I just ask you that you do your work in our midst. We hand over to you. And I ask that you apply the finished work of Jesus Christ to everyone in this room. Lord, where there is fear of rejection, where there is fear of abandonment, I ask that you uproot it and that you replace it with the love of the Father that is forever committed to us. Father, where there is brokenness, where hearts are broken, I pray that you bind up the brokenhearted this morning. Lord, where there is death, where there is guilt, where there is shame, where there is sin, I just ask you, Jesus, for your precious blood to just wash over all of it. Remind us of what you have done for us already. Let us not be proud and think that our sin would be too big for you to forgive. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you right now to come and to really minister to our hearts wherever we need it. I'm so grateful, God, for this honor that we can participate in all of this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.